Shalom, good evening to everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God for fellowship tonight.
Amen.
And for all the saints that are gathered here in Singapore and from outside. I see Sister Gertie, God bless you so much. It's not easy to be that far and somehow alone. But you are not alone.
Amen.
The Lord is with you.
Amen.
I greet the church, all the brothers and sisters in this wonderful moment. Season of transition for us. It's a season of reflection where we don't think like the world will think. Would I love to read something for us in Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'd like to read verse 13 and 14. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he had made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. This is our message. In the days of prosperity, in the days of our possession, our fellowship, in the days of our testimony that we have, we should be joyful.
Amen.
But in the days of adversity, in the day of adversity, I thought he will bring the opposite of being joyful. Rather, it says, consider. So what am I to consider? So this brings reflecting moments. We reflect, reminisce on the days of our prosperity, the days of our enjoying the fellowship, the days of our having loved ones around, the days of having a physical guide that we could see. We remember. And as we remember, crying is not out of it. Sorrowing is not out of it. Nobody should blush. Or should bluff, rather. Nobody should bluff. It will be insulting to bluff. It's not a Superman thing, no. Nobody should bluff. Rather, as children of the Most High, we cry, but the tears does not block our vision.
Amen.
So we cry, but we're still moving.
Amen.
But the world, when they cry, they come to a full stop. No more. They don't continue.
Amen.
So that's the consideration. We consider, the tears comes, we cry, But as we cry, we are moving forward. As we cry, we are planning. As we cry, we are strategizing. As we cry, we are recovering.
Amen.
Why? Because we consider. So, a big shalom to you. God bless our brethren, firstly in Singapore, in this other, the immediate family of our departed pastor and apostle, precious father and brother, Brother Richard Gann, wonderful family. I see your strength. I salute it. Family at large, brothers, cousins, nephews, nieces. Then the spiritual family, the church, the mission family worldwide. Shalom to you. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. God bless you. Right. This season, in my human estate, I've been very confused. Very confused as a man. So I've been here in Singapore. I arrived on Monday. Yes, Monday evening. But I kind of I've had no activities. So we talk about it in the house. You said you were to go here today. I'm just in here because I'm watching over some issues, considering. You know, when you have a leader around, you think he will always be there. So he will be saying things. You don't know that he's dropping instructions and nuggets for the preparation of tomorrow. So this is the season, my own season, of gathering those nuggets, those instructions, those disciplines. Amen. Those things I personally didn't like. I thought I didn't like. Now I want it, but I can't find it. That's life. So, it is out of those gatherings that I will be speaking to the church tonight. Much as I also know that this is a mixed multitude, I cannot access single-handedly the assembly in Singapore alone. I know the interest, the positive interest. When I say single-handedly the fellowship in Singapore, I have the understanding that Sister Gretty, for example, Brother Adebayo, they don't have fellowship in their home countries where they are the country of residence. So they are need together with this fellowship. But there are, by extension, others. I greet you all from all the countries, neighboring countries, far countries apart. But I also want to recognize that most of us have positive and negative interests. And in the next few weeks and next few days, these things will start to play. We have been taught by our pastor and our apostle. We have seen those battles before. And I calmly remember how we used to go about it. So, the floor is open. The match has just begun. It is the match of color revelation. So, true colors will be revealed. You never can tell whose side you are on. But like Joshua, he said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So this evening, I want to speak on the consolation prize of his resurrection.
Amen.
I'm going to take it wherever I'm going to stop here. We'll continue because it has so much to do with our activities in this weekend. To us, believers, to family, to friends, to the commission that was given, both the pastoral and apostolic commission that was given some 42 years ago, we will be hitting it this time from following precept upon precept.
Amen.
So, standing in under the prayers of our precious pastor and elder, Brother James Veremo, I will go straight to the scripture because we have prayed. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. I'll be reading verse 4. Just to save our time. Who had ascended up into heaven or descended? Who had gathered the wind in his fist? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? I want us to see how many questions this preacher was asking. Who had ascended up into heaven or descended? Are two questions. Who had ascended? One. Who had descended? Because there are possibilities that the answers could be, the answer could be more than one. It could be that the one who ascended is not the same with the one who descended. Secondly, who had gathered the wind in his fist? Who had established the ends of the earth? That's the fourth question. What is his name? That's the fifth question. What is his son's name? Could be different names. That's the sixth question. Is there another question? Yes. If you know, do you know? Can you tell it? That's the seventh question. So we're there. Seven questions that we must consider. Amen.
Amen.
Then, if we go down, it says, every word of God is pure. Verse 5. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Amen.
Every word of God is pure.
Amen.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Amen.
The personal pronoun there is not the person, but the word.
Amen.
And the word is the person. Alright. So, in Psalms 68, I will read verse 1 and verse 18. Psalm 68. Wonderful things were said here by David concerning the workings of God when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and the battles that he gave and victories he gave them in the hands of Moses, in the hands of Joshua. All of this coming up. He says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And let them also that hate him flee before him. So if I'm a child, which I always want to be, I will ask, but Father, God, why did you allow them to gather in the first place? Why are you now arising? Why are you now arising for them to scatter? Should they be gathered in the first place? Of course. God is fair.
Amen.
He is just.
Amen.
He gives equal and opposite chance to the wise and to the foolish. They will gather, but may their gathering be glorifying the God of heaven in Christ Jesus. They will gather in disobedience, they will gather in rebellion, they will gather with the purpose of pulling down. For example, the Pharisees never agreed with the Sadducees. And that's in the first place. That's why there were two camps. The Sanhedrins were there. The Herodians were there. The scribes were there. Now, the scribe was a communal thing in the sense that the Pharisees had their scribes, the Sadducees had their scribes, the Herodians had their scribes. And they come to argue out. They write and then they counter write. They argue, they counter, they send questions and send answers. They just struggle among themselves. But soon as it is time to kill Jesus, there will be this sweet fellowship. There will be this love out of nowhere. Yes. Hands will be joined with hands. But that will not make the unrighteous to go unpunished. So he said there, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. So we go to verse 18. He says there, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. That's the reason I read verse 1. Let God arise so that his enemies will be scattered. But in verse 18, he ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He also received gifts for men. Yes, this gift will walk even among the rebellious also. That the Lord God might dwell among them. So, when he arises in his word of strength, and they have nothing to hold as a form of connect, verse 1 will come to play. They will scatter, and they will flee from before him. This is the condemnation. For men love darkness more than light. Why? Because their work is darkness, is evil. Excuse me. We go to the next scripture we will read. John chapter 3. When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, so we just pick these verses. Verse 3. Now, after the sweet elogizing words from Nicodemus to Jesus. He had actually lifted Jesus so high. He was actually the first person to call Jesus Emmanuel in scripture. And he did that in verse 2. So we read from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know, even if we don't believe, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So if God be with him and he with us, that is Emmanuel. Because you cannot point anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus was directly called the name Emmanuel. But Nicodemus did. Because we don't take notice when scriptures is being fulfilled. So, now having said this, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know the story. So Jesus said again in verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I will read till 8. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto, I've said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The conversation continued. And Nicodemus was saying, how can these things be? It's confusing. So Jesus was asking him in verse 10, are you a master in Israel? And you don't know these things? But he went on to eat something. He said in verse 12, if I had told thee earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Do we think Nicodemus was not trying to believe? He was not understanding. And in real fact, to believe what you don't understand is magical. Speaking from the world's perspective. The man, if he never wanted to believe, he would not come. But Jesus was teasing him again because he had claimed to be a master. Once you claim anything, once you think of yourself more highly above that which you are, you have opened the game and trouble is going to set in. And no man has ever succeeded in standing that trouble. And that's why the way up is always down. He descended first. That's where we're going. Before he ascended. But now, who descended and who ascended? That's the problem. We think we know who descended because we saw who ascended. So who descended and who ascended? Verse 13. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
No man has ascended up to heaven. So, where is Enoch? No man has ascended up to heaven. Where is Elijah? No man has ascended up to heaven. But did Enoch ascend? Yes, sir, he did. What about Elijah? Did he ascend? Yes, sir, he did. But Jesus is saying from his very mouth, no man had ascended up to heaven. So you should understand that this heaven is in categories, in layers, in levels. When you hear God say in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Heaven is my throne. That heaven, no body, when I say body, whether it be angels or whatever, none have been able to ascend up to that level. This God we are talking about is greater than the heavens. He made the heavens. Do you think the heavens can contain him? No. The heaven is just his feet. And in reality, I want to tell you that heaven is my throne. It's not a chair as I'm sitting. Heaven is an experience. And listen, what is the kingdom of God? This is the kingdom of God. Amen. That some people here lost their father, lost their brother. It's not yet 10 days and they are saying praise the Lord and they are testifying. That's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It's within.
Amen.
The house is burning, but we are celebrating.
Amen.
Because that which is flesh is flesh. It cries. It's hungry, it sleeps, it wakes. But that which is spirit is spirit. Ever faithful, ever sure. Not judged by any man.
Amen.
But judged all things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Heaven is my throne, Isaiah 66 verse 1. The earth is his footstool.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Heaven is his throne, but the birds are here. They fly in the heavens. The birds of the heavens. Is that his throne? Oh no. The aircrafts that we have been to heaven. I don't know about you. I've been to heaven. I came from heaven into Singapore. As I'll be leaving next week, I'll go into the heavens and stay in the heavens for some 16 hours and I will descend into Nigeria. Wow.
Amen.
But I'm not seeing his throne.
Amen.
Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool, said the Lord.
Amen.
I am no longer talking about physical things here. Yes. So, Sister Gretty, when he said, the earth is my footstool, in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1, he was not talking, as at that time, he was not talking about Norway. Norway was not part of it. Singapore, oh sorry, he was not talking about you Singaporeans. He was not talking about Philippines, my sisters. He was not talking about Japan. Brother Adebayo, you ran there. You think you have escaped. He was not talking about there. He was not talking about Zimbabwe, of course. He was not talking about Nigeria. One of the things Brother Gan used to tell me, the slogan we used, when we wake up in the morning, I call him and say, Brother Nice, Nigeria is in trouble. They change rules anytime, as we've seen this evening. Yes. None of this. It was when the Holy Ghost came down into the hearts and of men that it began from Jerusalem. Because the only footstool of the Lord was Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the footstool of God. Because the first man that was created, Adam, was put on this earth at that spot called Jerusalem. And when the Holy Ghost came, the Holy Ghost cannot come in Judea. The Holy Ghost cannot come in Samaria. The Holy Ghost cannot come from Jeddah. Cannot come from Mecca. The Holy Ghost cannot come from Rome. The Holy Ghost came down from Jerusalem. Now, because it is the footstool of God. But from Jerusalem, as the tribulation came by death, the death of Stephen, the death of Peter, of James, they began to scatter. As they were scattering, these men that have received God and their hearts have become the throne of God. So God sits in the heart of Peter. Peter is running to Ephesus. Ephesus became the throne, the footstool of God. Paul received the Holy Ghost and is running to Corinth. Corinth became the footstool of God. So God is catching lands by your lives.
Amen.
Catching lands, possessing by your lives. Why? Your heart, not Amen. Heaven, had become the throne of God.
Amen.
So wherever you go, you are matching the earth on behalf of Him.
Amen.
God has possessed.
Amen.
Because you are there. So today, Singapore became the footstool. Nigeria became the footstool. Philippines became the footstool. Zimbabwe became the footstool. Norway became the footstool. Japan became the footstool. Everywhere that you have brethren of like precious faith, God has possessed the land.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I ask myself,
Amen.
Brother Nice, are you sincere? I don't ask another man because I can't answer for another man. Brother Nice, are you sincere? Is the Lord really possessing, or you are possessing certain things for yourself? You are possessing some ranks. You are possessing by competing. In this kingdom, there is no competition.
Yes.
Rather, there is placement.
Amen.
Because my eye, this right eye, cannot even fit the left side. Do you know that?
Yes.
No, have you thought about that? No, cannot. That's why this right hand, if I lose it, and the left hand wants to move here, will not fit.
Amen.
How will you put it? Cannot. You see, God is too great to copy. Who is He copying? You or me? God is copying. So where do we get it from? Why the competition? Why somebody is trying to drag something somewhere? You don't get it.
Amen.
You don't get it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going somewhere.
Amen.
So here we find Nicodemus has said, no man, Jesus said, no man has ascended up into heaven except he that came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, when we see the Son of Man, we are deceived to look at that Jesus was talking about the body that Mary gave birth to. Oh no. Oh, that's not the Son of Man. The Son of Man was manifest in that body. The Son of God is the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh, not in the womb of Mary.
Amen.
Because when you all read John chapter 1, you thought that as Jesus was born, John chapter 1 was being written. No, He had ascended. He had taken His position. Years later, these apostles, it came to them, they started penning things that they started writing. So they were writing as full-blown, knowledgeable, revealed men. They were not writing as journalists. So right now I'm in Sudan. Yes, I can see the missile passing. I can see the missile dropping. Oh, let me get out of this place. No. They were writing events that they knew of. It's been revealed to them. They fully understand what they were seeing before. So, who ascended? Who descended? Let me read that again. And no man, verse 13 of John 3, has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. So, who came down from heaven? Two, listen. Look at, let's turn the Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, popular scripture. Isaiah 9, 6. Two things we have to recognize here. Okay, so it says, verse 6, very popular scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Let's stop there. There is a colon there. So the child born and the son given. Is that the same thing? No. To Israel, a child is born. A name was given to him. Take note of this because we're going to reference it later. A name was given to him, Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. For he shall, 30 years later, deliver his people from their sins. Take note. For he shall deliver his people from their sins. That's what the angel said. For he shall deliver his people. So now, Jesus is born. Now look at it. Jesus is born. He's born sinless, but from a sinful mother. That is miraculous. Was Mary sinless? No. She falls under the category, for all have sinned, except you want to break the scripture.
Amen.
But he, the second man, created, made rather, sinless.
Amen.
The first was Adam. So the earth was Adam's mother. So Adam had no umbilical cord because the earth was his mother.
Amen.
But Jesus, he had to have the navel. Why? It's a sign of connection. That's how he's connected to us.
Amen.
He was not the first Son of God, but he was the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
Likewise, take note of this. We had a priest that met our forefather of faith, Abraham. That man was called what? Melchizedek. Remember? That man was so good, wonderful profile, or is so good because he's still here. Wonderful profile. You know the story or you have his CV in Hebrews chapter 7. He had no father. He had no mother. He had no beginning of days. He had no end of life. But in that, his wonderful CV, he could not be our savior. Why? He was not part of us. He had no connection. He could not suffer. If one is not born of a woman, he can't suffer. If one is not born of a woman, he can't die. And so, there is no kinsman connection It must be the kinsman connection, the kinsman redeemer thing. So Nicodemus, Melchizedek, he just joined humanity by appearing, revealing, carrying a body, and was called the priest of the Most High God. But he could not die for us. He could not even sacrifice any animal on behalf of Abraham. Why? Because he must be a high priest taken from among men for the purpose of men. The rule, God does not break his own rule. Every high priest, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1, that is taken from among men, for men, to sacrifice, to make sacrifices. So, Nicodemus cannot sacrifice on behalf of Abraham. So, he came to show himself. But, by revelation, Abraham could know who he was and worshipped him. Yes. Yes. Now, if we get out from there, unto us a child is born. There is a necessity. It's of a necessity that the Messiah, the coming Christ, must be one that is born. So this one was born. Born sinless, out of sin. Because God asked a question to Job in Job chapter 14. He said, a man born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. In verse 4, he says, who can bring a good thing out of a bad thing? No one. No one does not include God, because there is nothing impossible with him. So at the time appointed, God brought good out of evil. So Jesus was born here. But Jesus being born is not the Christ. He's not the Lord. So when we hear the angels say, this babe is born in the city of David, Christ the Lord, we run with that and we start fighting to prove that the baby was Lord and Christ. Who told you that? For that we are hated. For that we are pushed around. For that they said we didn't believe the prophet. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Amen.
Amen.
We're going somewhere. So, the baby is born. He must go through process. Did he cry? He cried. Was he weaned? Yes. Did he grow? He grew. Did he learn? He learned. Was he subject to authorities? Yes. He was under tutors. He was under governors until the time appointed. Let me show you his governors. Let me show you his tutors. Mary, the principal person there, the first, Mary, the mother, the first teacher, the first doctor, the first instructor, Mary. Put that down. Do this. Or maybe because Jesus was born an immaculate birth, he never cried. When he was looking for something, he wanted to have breast milk, he just said, forgive me. We're in fellowship. Even the dog is protesting. He said, he never said that. He never said that. Amen. Amen. So, do you think he was so special like that, so that he will not be like one of us? No. For you to catch one of us, you have to be like us. So he came down, he passed through the process. So he had to grow. He had to go through the different stages. The teeth have to come. Yes. He did not speak at 2 days. He did not blow some sand and it became birds, like some people have in their books. He didn't do those things. The Bible says that the first miracle he did in his life was to turn water to wine. If you don't believe that, you break the scriptures. So there was process. He had to go there. So now you watch something. So he went under tutors. Joseph was one of his governors, one of his teachers. What did Joseph teach him? He taught him carpentry. Joseph taught him how to be a man in this world. How to talk like a man in this world. All those people were carefully chosen. They were carefully chosen. Because the scripture cannot be broken. It said, though the son, he is heir. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. But he is put under the care of tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. So he had to go through these tutors. Now, Jesus was born under the law. So he had to be under the law. The law was his master. He was circumcised 8 days. Sack offerings were given on his behalf. Yes. He was registered. His parents paid taxes to Caesar. Do you get that? So he obeyed all human rules. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Aha. Then the last all righteousness he fulfilled. The last all righteousness he fulfilled was under another tutor of his. He had to have a pastor. Yes. Jesus had a pastor. Why? Because the priesthood must be transferred from a son of Levi to a son of Judah. From the tribe of Levi to the tribe of Judah. And now John, he was not recognized as a priest, but he was the original prophet priest of God. And John must be the one to lift up the hands of Jesus and say, behold God. And that was the last assignment. So he lifted up him and said, behold the Lamb of that taketh away the sin of the whole world. I must now decrease. Not just John decreasing. John representing the priesthood, representing the Aaronic order, John representing the law, John representing everything must decrease. And Christ Jesus must increase. So having come here, he said, whether a year after or 6 months later, he said to his people, he said, no man has ascended up to heaven. No man. So where did Elijah go? Yes, he went to heaven, but not the throne of God.
Amen.
Enoch, yes. He went to heaven, some paradise, but not the throne of God.
Amen.
But this one that is ascending to heaven, he himself, Jesus, has not yet ascended. He has not yet ascended. He will ascend. But for him to ascend, he has to get deep down. Now, Jesus speaking, remember, after the Holy Ghost came upon him, it was no longer him. He, the body, gave glory and honor and authority to the Spirit. So who descended? It was the Father that descended. What form? And tabernacled in the body flesh of Jesus. To make him the anointed Christ,
Amen.
A God prophet.
Amen.
That's why he will say, verily, verily, I say unto you, not thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
So here we come to the end of the road. Everything that has a beginning surely must have an end. He died. Sorrowful moments. Whereas the men of flesh were concerned about burial, were concerned about caring for the body, embalming, concern about taking care of the guests. Something happened. Third day, he rose again. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that the world has experienced. The greatest.
Amen.
He rose again. When he arose, take notes of this. That same day, John chapter 20. When he arose, there was one beloved, one who loved so much. It was not Mary, his mother. For Mary's mother to partake of that must be with that beloved. She was called Mary Magdalene. A type of the bride, promised bride. So let's have an understanding if I get there. When you hear the word a bride, every woman is not a bride. I get over again to be more clearer so you don't misunderstand me. Every virgin is not a bride. A virgin is a maid or a damsel, as you can call. But once the word bride is mentioned against that person, a man is interested in her. Do you get that? A virgin is a virgin. Oh, she's a virgin. She's a virgin. Oh, she's a damsel. She's a maid. A maid means a virgin. She can continue to be a virgin and be 50 years, no problem. But the day that a man is so interested in her, she has become a bride in the making. And the bridehood is a very short time. You see, we, from the first church age to this time, it's a very short time. Don't be deceived about 1,000 years, 2,000 years. That's a very short time. 2 days in the sight of the Lord. Very short time. It's a very short time. The bridehood of a woman is a very short time because the man is going to be very quick to do these things. But for the woman that is waiting to in transition from bridehood to wifehood is so long. Oh Lord, when? Oh Lord, when? Keep looking at the calendar. It's so long. The young man says, I'm coming in August. August? Wow. Wow, some people laughing more than others. I don't understand. Sister Zoe, you are scattering your eyes. What are you looking for? Look at me. August? Why? And she starts counting her fingers. Her fingers are so few to count from August, from now till August. She could start counting with her tongue. She counts her feet. It's so long, I can't count. Why not tomorrow? Yes. Because it is short to the one who wrote the program, but it is too long for those who are experiencing it. When our loved one is taken away from us, it is smooth for the one who wrote the program, but it's too painful for us who bear it. Yes, this is how it looks. If you don't experience it, you can't know it. So let's humble ourselves. It's one man's turn today. It will be another man's turn tomorrow. The thing is rotating. So when you raise your shoulder, try to cut it down. Because it's a pendulum. It goes here, it comes. To be one of our turn one of these days. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus, he resurrected. And because there were no activities on the Sabbath, there were no activities on the Sabbath. So these women were coming freshly, and when they came, they were crying. Correct? They were still crying. So the cry made them to have some omission, and they misbehaved themselves. Firstly, when they went to the sepulcher, they saw a gardener. A man was there, was cleaning the place. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Just so to clean the place. Caught seeing. They failed. They did not greet the man. Because they never thought he knows anything or he could be of any help to them. They passed. And they went to the sepulchre, to where they thought their glory was. To where they thought their miracle was. And when they got there, it was empty. The stone was rolled. And then they suddenly came back. Who to ask? They went back to the same man. And they said, "Oh, sir, do you know who had taken away our Lord?" The man was still cleaning, looking at them. When you cry, please keep seeing where you are going to. When you are hot, please choose the right words. For in this world, God will point to you that there was a Joseph.
Mm.
After all the insulting trials upon his life, he loved much. God will point to you that there was a David. God will also point to you that there was a Pharaoh who could not hear. His heart was always hardened, and he enjoyed his heart being hardened. He could boast of it and say, "I don't take nonsense. I'm very straight." Okay? So Pharaoh was always very straight until he was straightened to death. In Africa, we have an adage. We say that only dead people are straight. That is true. Only the dead, they are always straight. That's the thing. Amen. So, they asked him. Then the man said, "You don't need to seek the living among the dead." They still didn't get it. Amen. So, let's read something. John chapter 20, believe. Let me read from verse 15. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." What an accusation. Instead of accusing him. So Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Sifu. Amen. You know, it didn't happen that way. Not to suffer, I've said it. We need to illustrate certain things. Now, when the first answer was not favorable to her, Mary had no time to waste. She had turned and was about going. That's why Jesus called her in the spirit, the way no other person had called her before.
Mary,
it was beyond the flesh.
Amen.
Have you heard his call in the spirit? It was beyond the flesh. And Mary also answered the way she had never answered before. She answered right from her heart because she heard it from the inside. And she shouted, "Rabboni!" And shouting, Mary jumped. All protocol suspended. Mary jumped. To what? To embrace him. But do you know that Jesus hung her there and brought her down? Touch me not. That's where we are going. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not." Verse 17. Why? "For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go tell my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God." Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He's got a Father.
Amen.
That is my Father. And that is your Father.
Amen.
But there's something I don't know. There's something I know. If he's got a Father that is our Father, it makes us brethren or brothers and sisters to him. Correct?
Amen.
Correct? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. Correct?
Amen.
But now, because, you know, there is this argument in our message. You get it. So whether he is the elder brother or whether we are the elder sisters. So that is what I don't know. We are still trying to figure that out. But I know that we are brothers. Amen. But if I say that he is our elder brother, some people will be offended. So I won't say it. I leave that out. We're still... I think the matter is in court. So when the matter is in court, you don't discuss it. Let's keep going. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. So he was going to ascend. So I want to ask us, brethren, this ascending he was going to ascend, when will it be? Will it be the next 40 days? Because I saw an ascension 40 days later, correct? Would that be the one? No. So it means that Jesus ascended twice. Yes. This is where a ministry was received, that you had enjoyed and you never knew. So Jesus, before allowing Peter to see him, before allowing the two brothers from Emmaus to see him, before he could break bread, he only appeared to Mary and say, "Okay, tell them I am coming." So he went. So when he went, where can we find it in scripture? So we have to go to Philippians chapter 2. So what did he go to do? Philippians chapter 2. What did he go to do? He had just resurrected, and the blood of that death, he died 3 days ago. He being the priest of God, must take that blood there to the altar in heaven. So when he did take the blood to the altar in heaven, the Lord, his Father, must receive that blood by receiving him and must give him a price for his good work. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So, listen to this. In Philippians chapter 2, we see from verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, where was he in the form of God? From River Jordan to the Garden of Gethsemane, somewhere to the cross when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God left him. Left him, yes, to die. Yes. You know, could you imagine all the labors of servants of God, Brother Branham? God left him to die. He's a man. God will leave men to die. Take it. God will leave men to die. God left his son. He left him. And the son screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He left him. Turn his back at him. Because if there is no death, there will be no life. Singapore is not heaven. Tokyo is not. New York is dead already. Dead upon a dead on arrival. Where will you mention? So God left his son to die. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He turned his back. But, listen. He being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When there was time for submission, he submitted.
Oh,
how? Show me the example. Do you remember a boy called Isaac carried the wood?
Amen.
When he carried the wood, they were going to climb the mountain. And he said to Father, Dad, we've been doing this before. I think you've forgotten something. He said, what could that be? This is the firewood, the wood. This is the fire. This is the sword with you. But where is the lamb? The father said, okay, yes, yes, my son. God is the provider. So they started going. The son of Abraham, physical, climbing with the cross on his shoulder to Mount Moriah. And Isaac would have climbed as a boy weak. He fell. And the father looked at him. He said, stand up, son. He stood up. He climbed. And he got there. He submitted himself. When the son of Abraham, spiritual, was going to Golgotha, he also carried the same wood. He was falling. He was climbing until he got to Golgotha to submit himself.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We should know who we are.
Amen.
God has done great things for us.
Amen.
In these years,
praise the Lord.
There is no tears in my eyes. I've cried my cry.
Amen.
But my heart is strong. Because I know where I'm going.
Amen.
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 So, hallelujah, brother. So he said this. In Philippians, he said, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But, verse 7, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of men.
Amen.
Do people want to hear that?
Amen.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, naked.
Amen.
No good man dies on the cross. No good man. So he, not being a sinner and could not be a sinner, became sin.
Amen.
Aha, he became sin. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Amen.
that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the first prize God gave to him was, he gave him a new name. But the pronunciation of the name is the same. Yeshua. The same. He gave him a name. So when we are going to pray tonight, as James has prayed earlier, when he said in the name of Jesus Christ, he was not talking about the one that Mary and Joseph said, his name shall be called Jesus. They tried, but that one has expired. We are calling the one that God gave him a more excellent name. The name that can do something. The name that can do something.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the first prize. He gave him the first prize. Now, let's look at the second prize. The second prize, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now look at it. See how he puts it from verse number 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, if you are in the church of Jesus Christ, not Singapore Assembly, in the church of Jesus Christ, the spiritual, universal church of Jesus Christ, the church spiritual, the bride, you can't be useless. You have a function. Because you are enabled to function. So, that gift is the gift of Christ. So on Sunday, I'll be showing you that. I drew this. Where is the screen? Yes. There, yeah, okay. To come back a little. I drew this. This particular person here. His head and his body. So, I'm going to scan that so that you can have it anywhere. So the head of the church is Christ. The body of Christ is the church. Just a reverse. The head of the church is who? Is Christ. But the body of Christ is who? Is the church. So how many life will run in this entire body? One life. So he first of all talked about the body. The body. From the neck, the body. Gifts of healing, gift of government, gift of help, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy, faith. He talked about all of that. Then in verse 8, he stopped and he went, said something else. Now, he that ascended, what is it? Okay, no, verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. It was in that first captivity, in that first ascension, that Jesus took the blood and put on the altar in heaven, and by so doing, he took that name and received the gifts, then other men could come up. From Adam to John the Baptist to the thief on the cross, they all came out of their graves. They didn't come with him. He was first. He is the first begotten from the dead. It's not a co-resurrection. No, he resurrected first. Christ and the first fruits. And then, afterwards, we that are Christ at his coming. So, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, not ministries. Tell all our friends who are carrying ministries to clean it off. There are no ministries. Ministry, one. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When that is achieved, verse 14 will say that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleights of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen.
So the second prize that the God the Father gave to Jesus was the fivefold ministry to give to men. He gave a price because, you know, listen to this. Listen to this. God balanced the gifts. He gave him a name. I can claim that that is my name, but I can't be worshipped. But he's in his name, he must be worshipped. So, but what's my part? He now gave me as a body, he gave me gifts so that men could come and edify me to make me perfect. So, Jesus Christ, he received two prizes. One, the name, and then the gift that for him he gave gifts unto men. My brothers, if you say that this fivefold ministry is not a ministry of Christ, that this fivefold ministry is not a ministry, it is an attachment. I don't know what you are saying. If you say that this fivefold ministry, amen, this fivefold ministry is older than Martin Luther, is older than William Branham, this fivefold ministry is older by presentation here. It was Paul that revealed it, but Paul is saying that it is older than him himself. But the full manifestation of this fivefold ministry comes in this time, at the end time. It was coming piece by piece. There was a time that only pastors were there. There was a time that only prophets were there. There was a time that only evangelists were there. There was a time that only teachers were there. But in this age, in this last age, the fullness of it is forming up. We have fake. That is why we trust that there are originals. So for tonight, let me rest the case here. We shall continue Sunday morning by the grace of God. Shalom in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your word of truth that cannot be argued because it is an oath, a promise. You swore by yourself. Every word of God is dependable, and one is assured that he can rest and put his trust on it. Oh, help us in this time of our transition and a time of our reflection. Open our hearts. Just one thing, Lord, may we be sincere only to you. And then we'll be sincere to ourselves and other men. Unto you shall be all glory, for unto you shall be the gathering of all the people. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you for the healings, the testimonies that we have received. All to your name. Glory be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.